Is there anyone in here who knows the deep joy of understanding God's love and forgiveness? Is there anyone else in here who knows that? If you don't, and you see me with these tears, if it makes you feel awkward or uncomfortable, I'm sorry, but to be led in prayer and to worship in that way is such a joy. And to remember how big and grand and loving God is, and how deeply concerned and filled to overflowing with love for us is just totally joyful, and it makes me cry. So that's why I'm cheering. Thank you, Mark and Jill, for leading us in prayer, and to the musicians for leading us in song, and for Juan setting up the slides tonight, and for those of you who set the church up. My name is Christian, and I am one of the people who is a part of this community outreach Red Bank, and I'm one of the people who is a forgiven sinner gathered in by God's grace and set on a good path, one that I often wander off of, but one that He is faithful to draw me back to for His good purposes. Amen. There's others of you who are here in that way tonight too. I know there are also people here who maybe are not sure about what they believe about God and are just trying to figure things out, and you are totally welcome here. You don't need to think or believe like we do to be a part of this group. I want to tell you that tonight we're talking on a subject that we've been discussing for pretty much the entire fall so far. We've been talking about membership in the body of Christ. When the word member is used in the New Testament, as it is here and there, it is always used in connection with an image, a physical image of a physical body. The word member denotes a part of a body, like an ear or an eye, a hand or a foot. For this fall, we've been discussing what it would mean and what it would look like for any one of us to be a member or a part of the body, which is the church. And so we've been discussing that week after week. There's one detail that we haven't really spent much time on, which is going to be our focus for tonight. The scriptures teach us that this here is the body. And it also tells us that this body has a head. And that head, according to the scriptures, is Christ. It's Jesus Christ. It's put like this in Ephesians, in the first chapter, the 22nd verse. There it says, God has put all things under Christ's feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body. In Colossians 1:18, it's put even more succinctly. It says, Christ is the head of the body, the church. Now, what we'll do tonight is we'll ask this question and seek a simple answer. And I want you to think of this as I say it. If the church is a body, and if Christ is the head of that body, what would you expect to be true about that body? If the church is a body, and if Christ is the head of that body, what would you expect that church to look like? What sort of attitudes would you expect to see in this body with that particular head? What kind of actions would you think you would find in a community that was in fact the body of this head? What would its behaviors be like? What would be some of the things that this body would do? What would be some of the things that it would not do? What things would it be concerned about? And what things would it not care too much about? If in fact it was the body of this head, Christ. This is the question that we're going to answer tonight. And what I'm going to do tonight, which is different from what I ordinarily do, is I'm going to ask you to participate in this answer. Given what you and what I know about this man Jesus, what do we expect to be true of the body that was his? Now, before we do that together, and I want you to use part of your brain while I'm talking now to think about what you might share. But the other part I want you to use for this reason. I want you to listen to me tell you why it's true that when you have a body, which is a gathering of individuals, it will tend to take on the character of the person who is in charge of that body, the head. That is to say, if you have a group of people organized together around someone who's in charge or who is superior to everyone else or has a position of authority over all the rest of them, it will tend to be true that the actions and attitudes and behaviors of that group will follow the actions and attitudes and behaviors of the head. Has anyone else in here ever seen this sort of thing? Yeah. I can say that in every employment, every employment experience I've ever had in my life, it's always been true that the character of the employees tends to follow the character of the boss. My first experience in this was when I worked at a golf course. I worked with the cart boys. We brought the carts out to the members, and we brought their bags out to them in the beginning of the day, and at the end of the day, we took their bags off the carts and then cleaned their clubs, and we hoped for tips in the process. But I saw very early on that the other cart boys could be extraordinarily friendly to the members when they were first getting their clubs. Right to their face, they could be so kind and gracious to them. And then only 30 yards away from them in the clubhouse, especially in the back room, they could turn very nasty, saying all manner of evil things about these members. And in fact, one day I heard this one cart boy smashing the clubs of some members on the ground. He was mad because they didn't tip him. He was violent. He was swearing. I thought, this is the place where I work. I can't believe these cart boys are like this. I watched this happen day after day. I thought to myself, I ought to tell the boss about what's going on in the back room with the golf clubs. Saw him out there one day with an older couple who was members. He brought their bags in. I thought, when I get done with my work, I'm going to go talk to him. I came back into the pro shop. He wasn't in the front room. Do you know where he was? He was in the back room. His actions made me believe he had mistaken their golf bag for the urinal. He actually knew he wasn't in the bathroom. There was a reason why all of the employees acted like this, because that's what the boss was like. The life of a body will follow the character and actions and attitude of its head. In the summers, I didn't work at the golf course. I worked at a snack stand. I got there and I quickly learned that every single employee lied, cheated, stole. They were rotten to each other and to the customers. They were very unsanitary. I mean, it went on and on. I won't tell you any gross stories like that, but there were, at this place, there was an organized scheme around the punch clock. Anyone ever work at someone where there's a punch clock? It was amazing. There were shifts. There was an early shift, 6 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And then there was a shift that came in at noon and left at 8. And what happened is, invariably, the people of the later shift made friends with the people of the early shift. And the deal was, if you were on the early shift, you punched my card at 6 a.m., and I agreed to punch you out at 8 when I left p.m. You got it? So that everybody had 14-hour days. This is the norm. The storage shed for which had all of the supplies that were for stocking the snack stands was behind my particular stand. I remember day after day watching as the guys who were responsible for restocking the sheds would show up, and if they needed 5 cases of beer to stock the sheds, they always took 10. 5 for the cab in where they were sitting, and 5 for the back to be distributed. Everybody stole. Everybody was crooked. I thought one day, I should bring this up to the person who writes the checks. I thought I'd go talk to her. Sat down in her office. This was within the first month of my working there. And I said to her, there's a little bit of dishonesty here at this place. And she kind of looked at me with this sort of knowing smile. And I started telling her some of these things. You know what she said to me? Christian, get over yourself. I said, what do you mean? She said, everybody steals here. How do you think we have held a contract at this park to hold concessions for all these years? The boss pays off the people who are supposed to be responsible for bidding the job every year. She didn't even blink it out. She said, and you want to talk about reporting too many hours? He pays taxes on less than half of what we earn, so he'll never confront anyone about that. Just keep your mouth shut. That was it. The life of the group followed the character of the head. Now, some of you are nodding because you've seen this too. Haven't you? All right. Now, if it's true,
what Mike read at the beginning of our service from Colossians, that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And if it is true, as we heard prayed tonight, that not only is he head of the church, but Jesus Christ is the head of all things. He is. If that's the case, and if the church is the body in the world that lives according to that truth, the church is the place where people understand that he's the head and they live accordingly, then what would we expect to see in the actions and the attitudes, the behaviors of the church? The body which has this head. Now I'm going to need some help from some friends to move this up, okay? And while they're moving this up, what I want you to do is to think in your mind, because I have some ideas about this, but I believe that in this community here, that there are many of you who have some ideas about what would be true of a body with this head. Now, it might be, excuse me, awkward for you to speak out loud in front of a group. I want you to know that it's okay to do it anyway. Okay, to speak anyway. Thank you, Dad. Now, some of you might think, I have no idea what would be true of a body where Christ is the head. Then keep your mouth shut. I mean, that's right. If you don't know, that's fine. But I know that there are some of you out there who can say, and I'm gonna write these down here, who can say, when the body is living as the body of this head, Jesus Christ, here are some of the things that ought to be true about it. Here are some of the behaviors that we would expect to see. Here are some of the actions that we would imagine would be taking place in that body. Here are some of the attitudes that we would imagine would be present. So who would be brave enough to start us off? Okay, great. Go ahead.
Integrity.
This body would be a body where there was integrity. Great. Yeah.
Love.
Okay, great. Love. Thank you. Yes. This would be a place where there would be sacrifice. Can you say a little more about that? Okay, she said sacrifice, meaning that this would be a place where people would give things up for the benefit of others. I like that. Okay, let's keep going. I saw a lot of hands. We'll give everyone... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Galatians 5, 22 and 23.
Okay, if you have the scriptures ready and you want to read a scripture, read it, because only half of us have memorized the entire Bible.
It's the fruits of the Spirit.
Okay, Galatians 5...
22 and 23, the fruits of the Spirit.
Tell us what they are.
Joy, peace, love, kindness...
Okay, I'm going to try to get the rest of these down. And if I leave one off, please tell me, okay? What did I leave off? Love, joy, peace,
patience.
Hurry up.
Kindness.
I've got kindness and gentleness. Okay, and faithfulness, and did someone say goodness? This is great. Okay.
Generosity.
Okay, this would be a place where we would see generosity. I'm going to put that down here as well.
Also, Jesus is the Prince of Peace.
Peace, got it. Okay. There would be peace there. Yeah.
Honesty.
These words are so easy to write. Yes, Damien. Forgiveness. Okay, good. Yes. Okay, suffering. Would you do that? Okay, we should expect that there be suffering because we see that Jesus suffers. And he talked about that with his followers too. He told them that they ought to expect this. Some of them aren't so pleasant up here, but suffering would be one of the things that we would expect that might be a part of this community, or would be. What else? Yeah?
Grace.
Yeah.
Submission.
Would you expand?
Well, when Paul talks about like the wives committing to their husbands, it's often talking about the church committing to Christ as the head.
Yeah.
Commit to him.
That this would be a group that had a certain relationship to him, that then would be mirrored in the way that people related to each other. Okay. Yeah.
Humility.
I'm going to have to just, you know, take up open space here because we've got quite a bit. And I want to tell you, I'm very grateful for your willingness to share. Yeah?
The concern for the poor and the oppressed.
Great.
The concern
that
brings the
concern for poor and oppressed. And I'm going to put this, which leads to action. And this word charity was the original word that the Greek was turned into Latin, and then into the older English was the word of love was translated with this word charity, and I think it fits in there. What else? Yeah.
An attitude of gratitude, thankfulness.
Yeah, Mike. Okay. Well, I'm gonna have to keep. Did someone say write smaller?
Yeah.
I'm trying to write big enough so that the people in the back can see. Yeah.
I would say celebration, like of the good, like celebrating Jesus went to wedding.
Celebration.
He ate with people and shared his life with them.
Or that's a problem. Gavin, did you have something? I saw your hand go.
Unity.
Unity. Okay, yeah.
Compassion.
Okay, Kathleen and then Jill.
Encouragement.
Okay, encouragement. Okay, Jill.
In the same way that Jesus heard the Father's voice,
okay, good. I'll put listening to the Father.
Obedience.
Obedience.
Mercy.
All right, keep them coming. We're going to stop soon, though. Mercy. Anyone else?
Acceptance.
Is it A-N-C-E?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's stop putting them up here. We've got an awful lot here. I want to be clear again that all of these things that you've put out here, we're saying that these are the sort of characteristics. Some of these are characteristics. Some of these are actions. All of these characteristics, I think we could say, ought to lead to certain actions. But these are the ones that we would expect to see in a body whose head was Jesus. Can someone say, why would we expect to see that in a body whose head was Jesus? And this is maybe seems really obvious, but someone say it. This is what we see when we look at him. And we couldn't possibly be his body if these things weren't at work in us, too. Some of these would take some time. We could spell them out more concretely. Integrity. We could say, well, what does that look like? Well, it looks the opposite of what Christian described in his first two jobs. What does honesty look like in a group like this? Sometimes it means saying something that someone loves to hear, and sometimes it means saying something that's really hard for another person to hear because it's honest. Forgiveness. This is one of those words that's so easy to say but very difficult to do, because sometimes the person who will require your forgiveness has come to you and apologized and said, oh, please, would you forgive me? And they know exactly what they've done wrong. But at other times, they have no idea. And they don't show any signs of regret. But in this community, if Christ is the head, think of all of the people who have that relationship to him. And remember that he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Not, Father, forgive them, because they have asked me with real, true penitence for forgiveness. Love. This is one of those words that's so misunderstood these days. But if this is a body, the body of that head, Christ, we think of how we will be called not just to a feeling in relation to one another, a feeling of emotion, but an action. Love in action. Someone
try this. Let's try this. Could someone say specifically and concretely what love might look like if we were living as the body who Christ, of whom Christ was the head? This would be specific and concrete. Could someone give me an example of an act of love that would follow if Christ was in fact living as our head? Go ahead. Oh, prayer. Okay, prayer. That we would pray. Excellent. What else? Give, someone else give me another one.
Service.
Service? Say more. Give me, what is this something that you might end up doing? I want it to be dreadfully particular so none of us can weasel out of it. Okay, so driving people to places where they need to go, and then showing up early at church to set up.
After a weekend.
After a weekend of being pummeled by high school students. He said, sticking around after the service to help me put everything away. And that's the guy who's always staying around putting stuff away after the service. All right, that's kind of an example and a request. One more example of a specific way. Go ahead.
I'm saying, I know I'm saying this, I mean, Amanda just spoke to me, but Amanda, I know, like, every week she's one of the leaders of the high school group, and the concern and care that she puts towards the kids in her small, you know, the love that she has for them, and, like, how much she pours her heart out into that. Like, it was really inspiring for me when I started coming and seeing how much, like, God, you see God's love really work. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just amazing and
friendly. Okay, thank you. Amanda is a leader in the high school ministry, the other Amanda in the middle school ministry. But this Amanda in the high school ministry, she runs a small group of students. During the week, she sets aside time and sits with these high school students and listens to them talk about their lives and then demonstrates her care for them by praying for them and leading them and guiding them. Now, I'm sure we could keep this up. We could keep going in this way. And I don't want to do this so we feel good about ourselves, but so that we all see together that for us to be the body of this particular head, Jesus Christ, it ought to be something that shows itself not just in the way that we talk, especially not just the way that we talk on Sunday night, but it is demonstrable, it's evident, it can be seen in the day-to-day lives that we live. It's something that shows up when we're at work, or with our neighbors, or with our families, or if during the week we work with one of the ministries that Orv has, or if we're serving some other outreach program, or we're involved in another church where we're serving outside of the church service. It's just a fact that if the church is the body of this particular head, it should be something that can be seen by outsiders. And if any one of us here would recognize our call to be members of the body of Christ. Not first of all members of a church or of Orb, but first of all members of the body of Christ. That would mean that we would have to see ourselves as active participants of the life of this body, of this head, which would lead to these sorts of things. Now, I want to push this aside for a moment. We have some slides that I want to show you. But while I'm moving this, I want to ask you to think of this. Do you think that what are called churches often manifest this kind of life outwardly? So that when people who aren't a part of them look at them, they think, this is what a church is about. Is that often the case, you think? Sometimes. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. Now I want to show you something that will demonstrate the fact that early on in the life of the church, there were times where this was very true of the church, that people looked at it and they knew it was like this. Now I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna leave aside the New Testament, and I'm gonna expect that you will take it, that you will take responsibility. That was not supposed to happen. Well, would you just go ahead and skip to that side? That all of you would take responsibility at some point for looking at the New Testament letters, like was shared here, that Galatians tells us something of what it should look like. The whole New Testament tells us what this body should look like if Christ is in fact the head. But tonight I want to show you this man here. This man right here is called Aristides. There he is. Aristides the Athenian. That's not a photograph, that's a painting. Aristides was a man who lived sometime in the 2nd century, and he was a philosopher, a Greek philosopher. Early on in the 2nd century, this man became a Christian. And after he became a Christian, he had a lot of friends who were philosophers, lived in and around Athens. These were very intelligent men who wanted to understand what life was all about, what the purpose of it was. And by this time, early in the 2nd century, around the year 125. Now keep this in mind. This is only less than 100 years after Jesus lived. And he lived in a time where there was no mass communication or any sort of mass transit. Information spread by word of mouth. There weren't publications and so on. Less than 100 years after Jesus, all the way up in Athens, this man lived. And by that time, there were so many Christians in that area that the Greeks had decided that not only were there barbarians, Greeks, and Scythians, there was a fourth group, and it was the Christians. That's how prevalent they were. A lot of these philosophers were wondering, who are these people? What are they about? Well, this man, who became one and seemed to understand who they were, he wrote a letter to his friends to say, this is what I've observed about the Christians. I actually have a copy of it here. This is an excerpt from that letter. Can you read it, Juan? Can you try to focus it a tiny bit more? There we go. That's good. This is what he wrote. To describe what Christians looked like then. He wrote this. Their oppressors, they appease and make them their friends. They do good to their enemies. They love one another. And from widows, they do not turn away their esteem. And they deliver the orphan from him who treats him harshly. And he who has gives to him who has not without boasting. And when they see a stranger, they take him into their homes and rejoice over him as a very brother. For they do not call them brethren after the flesh, but brethren after the Spirit and in God. And whenever one of their poor passes from the world, each one of them, according to their ability, gives heed to him and carefully sees to his burial. This is what, at that time, this philosopher saw when he looked at the community of people gathered together called Christians. I think what he was seeing was what it looks like when a body lives with Jesus Christ as its head. What he saw there was that this group of people didn't act just like everybody else in the world. They were different in the way they behaved, and different in ways that you could observe and see. For example, when someone was nasty to them, when they had someone who was oppressive to them, they didn't respond back with evil, but they did something that transformed that aggressor and made them into a friend. Now, at each one of these, I want you to think of you and us together as a group and how we are called to live if we will be the body of this head. They did good to their enemies. Do you have any enemies? They love one another, and then he goes on to say what that looked like. From widows, they did not turn away their esteem. Widows, as you may know, in those days, were the total outcasts of society. When a woman lost her family, she was as good as dead. But according to this man, what he looked at the group of Christians, they didn't act like everybody else did when somebody was lost and alone and needy. Instead of turning their esteem away from them, they brought them in and took care of them. Again, I want you to think of us and what we're called to if we will be the body of this head. Same went for orphans. Not their own children who were treated harshly, but the children of the world who were without parents and who were being treated harshly. According to this man, this group of people made it their responsibility to take care of kids like that. They couldn't turn their attention away from children, even though they weren't their own biological children. When they saw a child being treated harshly by the world, this group of people went to that child to take care of them. And this is what they looked like. Do you see how they looked like the body of this head? When somebody was in the group who was needy because they didn't have what they needed, they gave to that person. And they didn't boast about it. When they saw somebody who was a stranger, an outsider, they welcomed them in and rejoiced as if this person was a brother to them. Not someone to keep at arm's length until maybe they prove themselves worthy, but as someone to welcome into the group with glad hearts. They took them in, this part's amazing. It says, when they see a stranger, they took them into their homes. Right? Just think about that for a minute. A lot of us don't have homes here. But those of you who have a home, imagine taking a stranger into your home. That's what they did. They lived together not as brothers of the flesh, but as brothers of the spirit. And when one of their poor passed away, they put their money together to have a funeral for this person and to give them a careful burial. Now, let me ask you again to look back here for a moment. Juan, would you skip to the next slide? I want you to look here again. This is what you have said, and I think you've said so rightly, that if we were living as the body of this head, this is what people would see when they look at us. And I want you to know that this is a good list for us as a church to keep before us as an aim, as a goal. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or to say something out loud here, but I want you to participate with me in your mind. And I want to ask this question. How do you think we as a group are doing, or you personally, and the people that you travel with in this group are doing in relation to these things? Maybe some of us are feeling really good, and feeling like if there was an Aristides in our community and he was going to write a letter about us, he would write something like that. Or maybe some of us are saying, to be honest, I have a few things that I can throw up there, but if my whole life is really examined, I'm not doing that great to be true. Is there anyone in here who would admit to feeling a little bit like that, maybe with a nod of the head? This is the last thing that I want to share, and it is how different, how utterly different the body of this head is from every other body. It does not accept and welcome people on the basis of their performance. There are many groups that have distinct characteristics of how they behave and act. Not like this, but they have other characteristics. Any group has this. And if you don't live up to those expectations or act in this way, you either change or leave. And that's the way it is with so many groups in the world. But there is something at the heart of this body that is different precisely because of who the head is in this body. And he is the head who welcomes sinners graciously. And I want to tell you this as clearly as I can, because this is what's going to happen in our group. It will happen. As we take these things seriously and try to live as the body of this head, what we will do naturally and almost instinctively is close people out who don't live up to what we see ourselves living up to. And I know this will happen. I hate that it will happen, but it will. We will want to close ourselves up with our group because we're doing so good at this and shut other people out. Let me show you. I'll tell you how I know this happens. I heard someone say that this is what people naturally do because they've been socialized to exclude others. I'll tell you, I'm sure this is true. People do it around race. They do it around economic status. They do it around how much, what groups you travel with, what you look like, your style, what you think like, how you speak. People divide up from each other. We're socialized like this. I know it's true and it happens in the church. Here's how I know. And I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again and again until this goes away in our group. The first year that we had a group, we had welcomed into the group about 20 high school students. These leaders that were working with these high school kids, we cooked them dinner, we were kind to them, we welcomed them, taught them about Jesus and his love, and they believed it, and it was changing them. We saw them just become alive around this message of God's acceptance and grace and love in Jesus Christ. We were really glad for this. And you know what started to happen in this group? They started to feel like this was our group, and when these people came in, we played a game one night. I had 9 people that I selected. 6 people, I told them, you go over on one side of the room and stand in a circle shoulder to shoulder. They did. 2 people, I said, you get here on this side of the room, and when I say go, first we'll let this person do it, and then second the other person will, and see how fast you can go to the other side of the room and get in that circle. That was the only directions I gave.
the ninth person, the last person I selected, was somebody sitting in the crowd, and what I told them was, tonight, I don't want you to participate in the game, I just want you to watch as carefully as you can and observe exactly what happens, because after the game is over, I'm going to ask you to describe it to everyone else. And I didn't do that in front of everyone, I just did it with that one person. Two here, six there, I say, are you ready? We're going to see how quickly you can get into that circle. Go. Start at the stopwatch. The first kid runs toward the group. What do you think the group does when the kid gets down there? They press into each other, they lock arms, and they start trying to keep that kid out. He starts wrestling in there, kicking, fighting, pushing, gets in there, stop. Yeah, I did it in 13 seconds. Now the next kid, I'm going to get in there even faster. My instructions were, I just said, stand shoulder to shoulder, you come down here and see how long it takes you to get on the circle. The next kid runs down. This time, they're not only are locking arms, but locking legs, and they start being mean. Like, they get the biggest kid closest to with his knees, like... The game gets done. Everybody's tired and cheering. They all sit down. And I said, all right, great game, right? And I asked the kid who had watched. I said, you tell us what the instructions were. He said, you told them to see how long it took them to get into the circle. I asked him, did I tell them to try to keep the other person out? He said, no, you did not. I asked the whole group, did I tell you to keep the other person out? He said, no. We felt we were supposed to. Now, I want to tell you this. They didn't think they were supposed to because that's how games like that usually work. Now, they might usually work like that, but that's not the reason why they thought they were supposed to. They thought they were supposed to because every single one of us has been born into a world that is constantly trying to keep people out. We do it because we're afraid. We do it because we're insecure. We do it because we don't believe that we're worth anything as people. And so we try to build each other up and ourselves up with the little groups that we create to keep others out. It happens in every group except for one, and that is the group where Jesus Christ is the head, because he is the one who welcomes, not us. And thank God for that, because if he were not that person, none of us would be welcome. Jesus Christ is the gracious Lord, not just of the church, but of all that is, of everything that has been created, all of it. He is the Lord of it all, and he comes to his body of people, and with a gracious love that is beyond our imagination, to every one of us in here, and all the people who aren't in here, he says, welcome. Not because you are so good, but because I love you. Because I have decided to leave my throne in heaven and to come all the way down to the lowest place there is to be with you and to call you my own, my brother, my sister, my friend, to gather you up and together to call you my body so that you will go into this world led by me, this gracious head, so that my love can overflow not just onto you, but out of you unto all of those who are around. Isn't it wonderful to be called by a head like that, and to be empowered and placed in a community of grace by a God like that. Isn't it? That is what we have been called to be and do. And that is what we will be. If we will become members of the body of Christ, we will be members of a body like that. Thank God. Let's pray together.